blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 408, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Ye who his temple throng, Jehovah's praise prolong, new anthem sing. Ye saints, with joy declare your Maker's loving care, and let the children there joy in their King. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 408. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, and thereof the 15th chapter, beginning with verse 35 to verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 35 through 58. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, in the communion of saints, in the forgiveness of sins, in the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with verse 35. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, so are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, so are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we have read out of thy holy word that the work of thy servants is not in vain, and thou dost encourage to go forward in those labors. Oh, may it be fulfilled in this afternoon hour, that our labors may not be in vain in thee, but that thou may give a blessing out of thy heavenly store to open the windows of heaven, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Oh, we have heard already that this corruption that must put on incorruption, and this mortal that must put on immortality. And so a dead is not dead, but that there is a life that is eternal, and that we are traveling thereto. Lord, it is a serious matter that we are not able to bind upon our own hearts, or the hearts of others, the hearts of our dear children. We go over this world showing so clearly that it is not bound upon us, when we can live so careless, and the world in our hearts. Oh, that thou would make it different in this morning, in this afternoon hour, to send thy spirit in the midst of us, and to give that life from the dead that we cannot miss. Oh, that thou would work with might and with power by thy outstretched arm to bring forth life, to give light in the darkness of our way, in that darkness wherein we have brought ourselves and our father Adam. Oh, he was carnal, and we are carnal. But that second Adam, oh, he is spiritual. Lord, may we also receive that spiritual life from him, from above in this afternoon hour. Thou who sittest at the right hand of thy Father, in whose hand is all power in heaven and in earth, and there is no might lacking with thee, even when we are dead in sins and in trespasses, even when we are in the hand of the strong man armed. O, thou art able to bind him, Lord. Thou art able to cast him out of us and of our dear children, and to enter in thyself and to abide with us. O, abide thou with us. For the day of this world is so far spent, and we go to that day wherein that trump shall be blown, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and there shall be a resurrection and a quickening, and there shall be a change in the twinkling of an eye of all that are alive and remain. Lord, we and our children shall be included, and we shall know what it is. It shall be our own experience, and we are told it beforehand, what that day shall be. Oh, give us then to take warning and to flee for the sake of our life while it is still called today. Oh, look upon thy dear children. Lord, they also cannot die from their own side. They dare not appear before thy judgment seat, because there is so much that still stands in the way, and the iniquity and transgression is not yet forgiven in the court of their conscience. Oh, that thou would look upon thy dear children. May thou lead them from strength to strength. And may thou open to them the spirituality of thy law. And may thou give them that blessed hope and expectation in thy dear and beloved Son, in whom thou art so well pleased. Oh, that they also may see in him everything that is lovely. Oh, that he may become to that people white and ruddy, when they are not able to deliver themselves from that horrible pit and that miry clay, that they may receive a cry to thee, and that they may testify that thou hast delivered them, set their feet upon a rock, and put a new song in their mouth. Oh, give them to sing a little, Lord. Give them to tell a little in these poor days in which we live, wherein thy spirit that is so quiet. Lord, we deserve that thou would never come. We deserve that thou would be quiet. We deserve that thou would take thy candlestick and remove it so completely from the midst of us. Our transgressions rise up against us, and they prevail from day to day. And our heart that is seeking after all the wretched vanity of this world, Lord, make it different by thy Spirit. And come thou and deliver where man cannot and will not deliver himself. Oh, put away the devices of the devil to deceive, if it were possible, even the very elect. And especially that awful and wretched, abominable doctrine of free will that does spread abroad within our own country, and that is the desire of our own hearts. O Lord, wilt thou put away all that evil, and wilt thou give man to acknowledge his deep fall in Adam, that we have left thee in our covenant head, and that we have forfeited all rights, and that we have lost all of our ability, that we have fallen so dead in sins and in trespasses, that there is no possibility of the least action of spiritual life. Lord, we can do nothing with all our responsibility and our accountability that will only be against us, except thou dost begin, except thou dost speak, except thou dost work.
And Lord, do it then in mercy from thy own side. Oh, look on us. Forgive our many, many sins and transgressions and all the wretched pollution that lies within our own breast. Lord, wilt thou look on all the afflicted ones. Care for all that need thee in special ways in this world. Those that are handicapped. Those that mourn, those that are invalids, that are taken care of by other people. Remember all caregivers, nurses, doctors, therapists, and all those that work in nursing homes. And look on also those that have not enough in this world. Food and drink for the body, and clothing and shelter. Wilt thou provide for them? And oh, give that thy name may be spread abroad through this world, and that man may not seek to the idols of human invention, but that it may be known that thou art the true and the living God, and so that men may seek thee while it is still a day of grace. Remember all those in the warfares that over the length and the breadth of this world, Lord, may thou give solution to all those troubles and difficulties, and keep those that are in the fighting in the hollow of thy hand. Oh, protect them in the week to come once again as the apple of thine eye. Oh, give them a place of refuge in thee, and may thou return them home again to their loved ones. In all safety, health, and strength. Be with the commanders, give them wisdom, and wilt thou put away all the evil. Look upon our rulers and all those that make decisions on our behalf. Oh, that thou may give a returning to thy word and to thy law. Be with our young people and children. When there is no school in these weeks, keep them on every side from accident, danger, from all foolishness and sin. And may thou remember also the principals and thy servants when we hope to meet again in the week to come concerning all the matters of our schools in the denomination. Lord, may thou keep over all ways of traveling. And may thou give us wisdom, oh, that thou may help in all these endeavors for the profit of our children and young people. And may thou give that thy truth may prevail, and that our schools may be sanctified and blessed. Do look upon all those that bring thy word in truth, that are truly sent, called by thee. Thrust forth in thy vineyard, wilt thou increase their number also in our days, when the number of thy servants is few. And Lord, may thou give thy help to be experienced on the right and on the left each Sabbath day, in this language and also in other languages. Be with all that are persecuted for thy name's sake. Oh, help us too in this afternoon hour. Lord, wilt thou be on our right and on our left? Give us a little freedom and liberty. Oh, give us thy spirit in a rich measure. Deal not with us as we so justly deserve. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 29, all stanzas. To thee, O Lord, I fly, and on thy help depend. Thou art my Lord and King most high. Do thou my soul defend. I praise the Lord above, whose counsel guides aright. My heart instructs me in his love. In seasons of the night. All stanzas of Psalter number 29, and the last collection today is for the building fund.
Congregation, sin has brought so much misery into this world. It is an untold misery. Who is able and who has a desire that they may know all that is suffered in this world? There are those that have to experience it in such a way that there is even a desire that they may take their own life. That is, in an attempt that they may escape from all that misery. And why? Because they have no hope. Because they cannot find in all that they have here below the fulfillment of the expectation which is laying in their heart. There is nothing that is going to go out of this life with us. There is nothing that you and I possess this day in this world, and that very soon we are not going to have to leave behind. That is, all our possessions, all that we have gained, also our families, our spouses, and our children. And thus, if this is everything that we possess in this world, then indeed we have to leave behind everything, and we take with us absolutely nothing. Some have to lose all in this life already. And then they feel something of how vain that this world is. We read of Job that the Lord has taken from him riches, family, and health. And then even that righteous man did curse the day of his birth. And yet there was something that upheld Job. And what was that? That was a hope in the resurrection of the dead. For I know, he said, that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand one day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet he says, in my flesh I shall see God. And thus, with everything he had to lose, and Job had a hope and a comfort in the resurrection of the dead. Do we also have such a hope? Do we also have such a comfort? That is what our fathers speak of in question 57 of Lord's Day 22. Lord's Day 22, only question 57. What comfort doth the resurrection of the body afford thee? Answer, that not only my soul after this life shall be immediately taken up to Christ its head, but also that this, my body, being raised by the power of Christ, shall be reunited with my soul and made like unto the glorious body of Christ. So far, our Lord's day. The comfort of the blessed resurrection of the body. First, our approaching death. Second, our approaching resurrection. Third, the comfort contained in it. The comfort of the blessed resurrection of the body. First, our approaching death. Second, our approaching resurrection. And third, the comfort contained in it. This is the regeneration so highly celebrated in Scripture and denominated a new creation, a resurrection from the dead, a making alive which God works in us without our aid. Where do we read this? That is in our Canons of Dort, Head 3-4, Article 12, that speaks about regeneration. And therein our fathers have called regeneration a resurrection of the dead. What kind of resurrection is that? That is a spiritual resurrection. That is from spiritual death unto spiritual life. What a blessed resurrection is this spiritual resurrection. After we have fallen in death through our first father Adam. But as we have read, there is also a second Adam. Thus the Lord says that He makes everything to be new again. Is that now the resurrection that our fathers are speaking of in this Lord's day? No. And yet how necessary that we know something of this resurrection in order that the resurrection that our fathers are speaking about is a comfort to you and to me. There is another sense in which we may speak about the resurrection of the dead, and that is in what we call a civil manner. That can be of an individual or that can be of a whole state. The Lord had said to Hezekiah, "Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Maybe there are those who know what it is to be in the place of Hezekiah, wherein death is staring us in the face. And then when we are spared by the Lord, and that the Lord is extending our life, then it is for us as a resurrection of the dead. David says, "O Lord, Thou hast brought up my soul from the grave." That is not in a literal way, but that the Lord has delivered His servant David. That was also with the children of Israel. When they were in captivity, and when their expectation was so low, and they could not see how that the Lord could possibly deliver them out of the hands of their enemies. And then in a moment, and then by the speaking of the Lord, even unto that heathen king, oh, then the Lord is able suddenly to change the condition of His people. And then what do we read of them? Then we read that they sang, how that when the Lord
He has delivered them from their captivity, that they say, we were like them that dream, that it is, as it were, a new life that they are given in their deliverance from the Lord. And yet, also this sense of a resurrection from the dead is not what our fathers are here speaking of, but they are speaking of an actual physical resurrection of the dead. And every Sabbath day again, we make that confession. I believe the resurrection of the body. A congregation, do we? If we believe the resurrection of the body, then we also believe that we shall die, because we cannot resurrect from the dead except first that we have died. There are some boys and girls that did not die. Who were they? Enoch, Elijah. And we have read out of the Word of God, there are others that will not die. There are some. Will it be you? Will it be me? That could be. Who will they be that will not die? They are those that are alive when the Lord comes again. As we have read, when that trump shall sound, these will not die. These, we read, they shall be changed, and that in the twinkling of an eye. For the rest, we shall die. Do we believe that? Do we live this world as if that we are dying creatures? For man, that is a frightening thought. Maybe that is for you too, boys and girls. When many years ago, we were in the classroom, then there was a little girl, and she said, my mother told me not to think about dying because then I cannot sleep in the night. Boys and girls, you understand that is not good advice. No, we had better be prepared to die. And in our catechism, then we hear that our fathers are speaking of a people who may look death in the face with comfort. What will that be like? To die? We do not know that. Not one of us has experienced what this is. We are going in death into an unknown world. And yet the scriptures speak much about death. And they are speaking also about what is following death. We read that there is going to be a separation. And we know there is separation from our loved ones in death. But that there will be a separation of the two most intimate friends that we have in this world. And what are those two most intimate friends? That is our body and our soul. Then what an awful thing. They were not created to be separated from one another. No, they were created to remain with one another forever. And so in that sense, what an unnatural thing it is for these two, which are united with such a close union to be ripped apart, as it were, from one another. But this is what shall take place. Solomon says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Thus, that union shall be broken, the body entering the grave, and the soul returning unto God, who is our judge. That is one thing we read about death. And what is following death? We read something else. We read that that body that will die, but we read that our soul that shall never die. Paul says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. That means, congregation, that we are different than the animals. The animals have no soul. Dead is dead. Maybe that at one time we were also jealous of the animals. Did you ever look at the animals, young people? And may you ever be jealous that you say that animal has no soul. And when he dies, that is the end of his existence. He never has to appear before a holy and a righteous God. It is understandable. And that when we see something of the seriousness of what that is, that we might be jealous even of the animals. And yet, that is not a right thought. No, it is the Lord who has given to us a soul as a rational creature above the animals. And that soul that is a blessing of the Lord. It is man and that has brought himself into such a condition as he now is. No, the world, they will also say dead is dead, young people. And when you will listen, then sometimes you will be tempted to say, maybe that is true. Maybe that is right. That dead is dead and that there is no God. Do you know what we read in the Word of God? The psalmist, he says, the fool hath said in his heart that there is no God. For the most part, we have no impression that we are going to die. For the most part, we go over the world just like the beasts of the field. Man that is in honor and understandeth not, he is, as we read in the Word of God, as the beasts that perish. Rome speaks about a limbo. When man dies, also God's people, and that their soul, they say, that goes into a certain limbo, there that soul is purged from sins which are not mortal, that are not damning forever, but small sins, venial sins. The congregation, we find nothing of the kind in the Holy Word of God. The thief, he was converted by the Lord in the last moments of his life, and he was promised by the Lord not a limbo, to be purged of his many venial sins, no, but promised by the Lord to be so washed, to be so cleansed, to be so forgiven in one moment by that blood of that mediator, that he would enter that same day into paradise with the Lord Jesus Christ. No, there is no state of limbo, but the soul upon death that is entering immediately into its eternal state. On the other hand, you may, if you will read something of theology, then you may read of the term intermediate state. That is not an intermediate place as a place of limbo, but then it is spoken about an intermediate state, and that state is simply referring to the time that the body of a man is in the grave and the soul of that person is in its final state. And this is called by some of our fathers an intermediate state, simply meaning it is not how it was, both soul and body together here in the world, and it is not how it shall be yet. In other words, there shall come an end to that state, a separation between the soul and the body, and then man shall enter into his final state. That is our second thought, our approaching resurrection. Not only my soul after this life shall be immediately taken up to Christ its head, but also that this my body, being raised by the power of Christ, shall be reunited with my soul and made like unto the glorious body of Christ. The resurrection of the body, congregation, is not something that is fit for our understanding. And what does man do? We want to glorify our rational understanding. What is necessary in order for the resurrection of your body and of my body to take place? Well, then it is necessary that all of the particles of which our body are made up are in the first place preserved. That is, whether the particles of our body have been burned, whether they have been sown in the waters, whether they have decomposed within the earth, all the particles of the body of man need to be preserved in order for that body to again be resurrected from the dead. It is necessary, in the second place, that also our soul shall be preserved by the Lord, so that the soul is able to be reunited to our body once again. It is necessary, in the third place, that this body of ours shall be reformed, so that our body, the particles of our body may come together anew, and that they may make a fit habitation for our soul. It is necessary, finally, that indeed the soul and the body shall be reunited by the Lord once again, and that whole being of man may be given a new life from the Lord. What is all this? Every step is indeed a miracle. Every step that is requiring the almighty power of God. Therefore, it is not a wonder that when we go out into this world, that we are going to hear carnal men denying the resurrection of the dead as something that is utterly impossible. It is not according to what an unbelieving man is able to receive and accept within his mind. It is not for our understanding. It is a matter of true faith.
The congregation, do we have sufficient grounds to believe that our bodies shall also resurrect from the dead? We do. In that eternal and that unchanging word of God, the Sadducees also did not believe that in the resurrection of the dead. And what did the Lord Jesus say to them? He said, "Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, and not knowing the power of God." That is, you do not know the Scriptures and you do not believe that God is able to do this. And then he reasoned with the Sadducees out of Moses. We read, "But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken to you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." Thus, in the first place, the Lord Jesus points to the fact that the soul of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is indeed alive, and it is being preserved unto that last day. But in the second place, the Lord Jesus is speaking about the covenant of grace. And the Lord Jesus is saying that that covenant of grace that is involving not only the soul, but the whole person, body and soul of that true church. Thus, we read very evidently of the proof of the resurrection of the dead. We see that also as proof in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read that he is the first fruits of them that slept. Thus, he is only the beginning. And all those that are in him, they shall certainly follow him in that resurrection of their body. Or in that resurrection of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see how that justice of God, which has condemned man to death in the soul and in the body, that has been so completely paid, that has been satisfied in the suffering and in the death of the mediator of his people. That is, that the Father is satisfied with the work of his Son. And so there cannot be any hindrance to the resurrection, not only to the resurrection of the body of that true church. We read that the Lord Jesus, he is the head of the body. And when that head of that body, he is gone before, then the members of that body, they certainly will follow after. And who, congregation, is the prince of this world, who has the power of death in this world, that is the devil himself. And we can read how that the Lord Jesus has destroyed that power of the devil. Why? That he may raise a people unto a new life, a spiritual life,
and a natural life. The Lord Jesus did not only suffer in his soul to pay for the soul sin of his church, but he suffered also in the body to pay for every sin that the body of his church has committed in this world. Many mock concerning the resurrection of the dead, but God's congregation will not be mocked in the end. True faith does not rest on reason, but true faith that is resting on the Word of God, which is so sure to be fulfilled, even when man is not able to comprehend that Word. Nor is it against the reason of man. If only men would reason a little bit. If only men would acknowledge that the Lord has created such a world in which we live, and that he has given to you and I such a miracle of a body which we may have, and a miracle of a mind, and the miracle of the relations between one another, and the miracle of emotion, and a miracle, and the miracle of a spirit, a natural spirit. No, if only man would reason a little bit, then man may see and that this whole world is a miracle, and then he may believe that the Lord will raise up men, everyone, from the dead. That is not only today. It is nothing new. Solomon says that there is nothing new under the sun, but everything has been of old time, and we have read that all also together. That Paul, he has to contend with those who are criticizing, who are mocking, who are speaking against the resurrection of the dead. We read here, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? And then what does Paul say to them? He says, thou fool. And then he compares it to what we know, even in this world, boys and girls. When your father or your uncle or the farmer, he will go to sow the seed. And Paul compares it with that seed that is sown in the ground. What does he say? That which thou sowest not that body which shall be, but bare grain. Thus, when that seed, did you ever hold that in your hand? When that seed that is being sown, that seed is so different. So very, very different from what is going to come up. When you had never seen that in your life, and it was only told you what shall happen when you take that little seed and you plant it in the earth. And at first that seed is going to die, and then someone would draw for you that plant, that tree, that flower that is going to come out of that seed. When your eyes had never seen this miracle, what would you say? Maybe you would say the same as so many say today of the resurrection of the dead. That is impossible. Cannot be. And yet it takes place. And yet it is happening before our eyes every day again. So it is not against our rational understanding, no. So it is also going to be in the resurrection of the dead, Paul says. It is going to be with that same body, but that body that is going to have new, different characteristics. Paul said it is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body.
By that spiritual body, then it is not speaking of the same thing as spiritual life. But it is speaking about a body which is raised to never die again.
It is going to be a body which will be able to dwell with the spirits, that is, the angels in heaven or the devils in hell. Thus, there will be a change in our body. What does Paul say? Flesh and blood cannot enter, inherit that kingdom of God. Our mortal bodies are not able to endure in the first place the glory of that eternal bliss. And our mortal bodies are not able to endure the torments of that eternal damnation, and therefore the necessity of that spiritual body. How will it be different? It will be no longer mortal. It cannot die. That is a solemn thought, because that has two sides. It cannot die. Blessed thought to those who have a good hope for that eternal life. Blessed thought for those who are righteous, for those who are cleansed, for those who are forgiven. Oh, awful thought when we consider, congregation, the other side. Sometimes in this world, men taking their own life to do what? That is to escape, or think that they think they will escape their misery. And in that sense, in this world, yes, then their misery is done. In the book of Revelation, then we read about the torment of the wicked when that bottomless pit that is opened up. In those days, we read that men are going to seek death, but they shall not be able to find it. Death is going to flee away from them, even though they desire to die. Oh, what an awful thing to have an immortal body in a place where that worm dieth not and that fire is not quenched. With soul and body, we have sinned. With soul and body, that price has been paid for that church. With soul and body, all those who are not found in Christ, they shall pay for a never, never ending eternity. That is the word of the Lord. And our congregation, the question of our Heidelberg Catechism, what is that? What comfort? What comfort doth that resurrection of that body afford thee? It is understandable if when we would say in this day that a resurrection of that body that affords to me in this day no comfort at all. It is a terrifying thought to me Oh, may it be. May it be then that it gives us no rest, no rest, until the cause of that terror is taken away. Is that possible? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Our Father speak about that blessed hope of the resurrection from the dead. And that is possible, congregation, young and old, to the last day of our death, as long as we still have breath in this life. Let us sing first. Psalter 139, stanzas 3 through 6. Our God shall surely come, nor silent shall he keep. Devouring fire shall herald him. About him storms shall sweep. 3 through 6 of Psalter 139. What comfort doth the resurrection of the body afford thee, that not only my soul after this life shall be immediately taken up to Christ its head,
but also that this my body, being raised by the power of Christ, shall be reunited with my soul and made like unto the glorious body of Christ. What was the prayer of the Lord Jesus concerning his church? He prayed to his Father, Father, I will, and that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. And thus it is not only the desire of the church, no, but it is the desire of the Lord. It is the desire of the head of that church. And for that reason, it will certainly take place that he will come and receive his own unto himself again. That is the great comfort for his church that is taking a place immediately upon the death of his people for their soul. But he has also a purpose, and that purpose concerns also the bodies of his children. It is impossible that he should forsake that work of his own hands, and having paid that price for both soul and body, it is impossible but that he will return again to receive them unto himself, and therefore the blessings of that people, they are not blessings only for this life. No. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Or is not the greatest hope of that people, and that hope of life everlasting? But congregation, what comfort doth the resurrection of the body afford thee? Thus it speaks of the church being taken up to Christ, its head. But is he also our head? Because when he is not our head, then there is no comfort in him for us. You say, how do I know this? How do I know that he is my head? Well, congregation, what is the relationship between a head and a body? The head rules the body. Is that so in our life? Or when we would ask God's true church, then how far short they would come in this. But then we ask you, does this lay in your desire? Has that been planted in your soul, that you might be ruled in all things by him? Oh, that ruling that has to do with his commandments, is that then our love, is that then our desire to walk according to his commandments? The head, congregation, is the wisdom of the body. It is directing the body in everything. Do we feel this? Has the Lord brought an end to all of our own wisdom, that we may seek and that we may come to know that wisdom in that Son of God? Without a head, there is no life in the body. Oh, may we ever learn this in our life, that without me ye can do nothing. There is the source. There is the source of temporal life. There is the source of spiritual life. There is the source of eternal life. Our life is sweet.
our temporal life. But it has so many difficulties. It has so many problems. There are so many miseries. And yet, congregation, would you want it then to come to an end? Would you want to cut it off because of all of those troubles? Oh, how much more that spiritual life. Oh, that life is sweet. We tried to say a little this morning. Oh, would that people want to give that life up with all that weeping? No. Oh, how much more is then that eternal life? Oh, to enter into that eternal life by the resurrection from the dead. That is the hope. That is the sweet expectation of the true church of God. And that is the only comfort when that people are being brought to the grave in the resurrection. We said there shall be a change in our body. Do you remember, boys and girls, what will be the change? It said a body will become eternal. It will not be a mortal body anymore. It will be an immortal body. An undying body. But now there is something else. And by this you may ask yourself, whether I am also part of that body whereof the Lord Jesus Christ is that head. Do you know what change is going to come? When that body shall arise out of the grave, it is going to leave all sin behind. That will not be for the wicked. That is going to be for God's true church. Oh, there are people that are sometimes able to say they would take every affliction with them to heaven if they could only leave that sin behind. Or with the hypocrite, it is the opposite. Then he says, oh, could I only take with me all my sin and leave behind all the miseries and afflictions of this life. And so, that we may examine ourselves, shall it be? That the people of the Lord shall take with them the afflictions of their bodies? No. No, they shall leave all sin behind. And they shall leave all of the consequences of sin also behind. Congregation, can you truly say with Paul that this is a body of sin and of death? Can you say that it is your grief, even as it was the grief of the Apostle Paul, that the flesh is lusting after the Spirit, so that I cannot do those things that I would? That is, of that new will that is placed in the heart of that people by the Lord. Is that a burden? Is it a burden that you cannot even grieve as you wish that you were able to grieve as it ought to be? Does your heart mourn over such a wretchedness? Do you know what Paul asked? He says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? is that also what is laying in our heart, because these are the members of that body whereof the Lord Jesus is the head. And the deliverance is coming for that church in the day of their death, when their soul shall be eternally delivered. But the complete fulfillment and the complete joy of that church is going to come on the day of the resurrection of their body, when the body may be reunited once again to their soul. And as our fathers say, it shall be made like unto the glorious body of Christ. And what did the Lord Jesus say? He says, which of you convinceth me of sin? Congregation, next time, then we hope to go further with what is coming after this resurrection of the body. Oh, until that time, may the true church of God receive comfort in the hope of that resurrection from the dead. Oh, that hope that is taking away that sting of death. How? People of the Lord, what did the Lord say to Jacob? He said, fear not to go down into Egypt. And why fear not? He said, because I will go with you. And I will surely bring you up again. Oh, that blessed comfort of the hope of the resurrection of the dead. Oh, may it be that upon which that church may live here in this world. As the Lord Jesus said to his church to watch. To watch for that day when the signs are fulfilled. And when they may see those signs being fulfilled, that they may lift up their heads for your redemption, he says, that draweth nigh. Oh, that we would live truly as a stranger and as a pilgrim in this world, that it may be evident to all that are about us, that we are going through this world, not seeking all that is here below, but a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. O congregation, hasten, hasten, for the sake of your life, our death that is coming soon. And so is the resurrection of our body. Do not put it away out of your thoughts. Meditate therein day and night, that we may be prepared to die, to meet our Maker, and that it may become our greatest comfort, our hope, our expectation, that after, according to our skin, the worms, they shall destroy this body, yet in our flesh we shall also see God. Seek it for Jesus' sake. Amen. O Lord, we do not seek it. Come thou, work in us, draw us, seek us out. In a day of grace, Lord, give meditation on thy word. Oh, let not the birds of the air take it away. Plant it in us, each and every one, for the first or by renewal. Bring forth fruit. And Lord, go with us to our homes. Spare us from all accident and danger, evil and sin. Draw our hearts to fear Thee. Be with us in the week to come. Wilt Thou remember us in traveling? Bring us safely back again to this, our congregation, at Thy appointed time, and to our family. And remember all that we leave behind. Those that are sick, be with us in the labors, in the field, and in the home. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 421 stanzas 3, 4, and 6. Blessed is the man whose strength Thou art, and Thy ways are hidden in his heart. He treads the highway to Thy dwelling, and though passing through a vale of tears, Thy grace, O God, to him appears, with winged hope and power impelling the wilderness. By showers blessed is now a pilgrim's veil of rest. 3, 4, and 6 of Psalter 421.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.